Very thankful to be here and very thankful that the Lord has blessed us to continue to meet another year and to be together another year as we conclude the year of 2017 and begin 2018. It seems like that was yesterday it started and today it ended. Time seems to march on at a greater pace than it once did in my life, and as I look back over time, I love the song that we just sang, that the Lord has been so good to me. I'm thankful for each one of you, for your prayers, for your love, for your concern, and for the thoughts and prayers that you prayed for me and my family and for one another, and I just have so much to be thankful for that I can't begin to mention those things that I truly am thankful for. That's the thoughts that are on my mind this morning, is being thankful. You know, a few weeks ago, I began to wonder, am I really thankful? And, you know, there's some qualities in a person who really is truly thankful I don't think you find in every person. Generally, if a person is moaning and groaning, complaining, whatever they're complaining about, you know, the person that complains about their job is a person who's not thankful they have a job. There's always something wrong. A person who doesn't like what their husband or wife does are not thankful that they have a husband or a wife. You know, every one of us face circumstances and consequences in life that are not always tremendously pleasant. But I'll tell you, if you'll sit back for just a few minutes in your life and dwell upon what you have to be thankful for, it's far more than anything that is a difficulty to you in this life. You know, we rest our case upon the promises of Almighty God. Life is not easy. Life is full of struggles and ups and downs. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We're not immune to that. Some folks seem to think when they look on the other side of the fence that nobody has the troubles that I have, but it's because they hadn't went over there and grazed on that side of the fence. That's just a presumption that they have. Some people do far better in not exploiting their troubles and their difficulties than others. Therefore, they don't come to tell you about everything that's wrong. They don't complain. You know, we find in the great miracles, when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, they had been in hard bondage for 400 years. They had seen these miraculous miracles by God Almighty Himself. They crossed the Red Sea. They had a fire by night and a cloud by day to guide them. The Red Sea was parted and they went across on dry land. And then God Himself took care of the enemy by drowning the Egyptians and Pharaoh. They wasn't over on the other side of that ocean or that sea very long till they was moaning and complaining and griping that God had brought them out into that land. That's a people who complain and are not thankful. They're not really grateful for what God has done for them. I want to look at some verses this morning about being thankful. I think sometimes that being thankful is not the easiest thing to do because we have a tendency as human beings to dwell upon the bad. Children of Israel got out of this desert where many of us had been. They couldn't see anything to eat. They didn't see any rivers full of water, so they believed that God brought them out there to die. Now, they had just been delivered and seen miracles that you and I have never witnessed. And by faith, we believe those miracles, and yet this was a people who were very unthankful. They were not grateful for the deliverance that they had. Soon after they had seen these great miracles, God began to rain manna down. They ate the manna for a while and they began to complain again. They didn't have a great variety of food. Sound like any of us? I'm sure if we'd have been in those shoes, we'd have been as great a complainers as they was, as eating the same thing every day. Then the Lord, hearing their complaining hearts and their unthankful hearts, He sent them quail to eat, covered the land in a great depth because they were not truly thankful. I asked myself this question when I began to think on this, am I really thankful? You know, it's one thing to declare that you're thankful, but it's another thing to really be thankful. It's kind of like telling somebody you love them and it being nothing but words. Do you manifest that thankfulness in your life to others? More importantly, to God? We're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 that being thankful is a command. It's a command of God. And I even thought at length about that. We ought not to have God command us to be thankful unto Him, should we? Notice what it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also called in one body. Now, then, I believe this verse directs to each and every one of us on a personal level and as a body in the church. Let the peace of God reign and rule in your hearts. I don't believe the peace of God can reign and rule in an unthankful heart. I don't believe that. Because the heart is filled with things apart from God. The things of this world, the things of this life, that so often take us away from worshiping the only true and living God. It certainly has me. Have you ever encountered those problems in life? We got a lot going on. The temporal things of life that are here today and gone tomorrow sometimes consume us. You see people out doing things to the point you'd think that this was all there is. But aren't you thankful that we've been promised by God Himself a better day and a better life? Regardless of the circumstances that you and I go through and live through, there's coming a day that sin will no more be a part of our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God for that day. We live upon those promises. There are the things that get us through life. And no matter how bad our day is, I believe there's more to be thankful for. You know, as I was thinking about this, it says, let your hearts be filled, or let the peace of God reign in them, to the which you also called in one body, and be ye thankful. It didn't say, if things are good, be ye thankful. If I'm being treated right by everyone, be ye thankful. If I'm making enough money, be ye thankful. It just said, be ye thankful. And I thought about last year, and I thought about some people who say, well, I've got all these problems, you know. Well, friends, we all got problems. We have circumstances with our families and with our friends. We may not like what's going on in our government. Tragedy hits home. I know last year I faced a tragedy one more time in my life, and most of you know about it. I mean, they're just a part of life. But even in the midst of those great tragedies, we have much to be thankful for. Aren't you thankful in the midst of a great tragedy you can call upon the only true and living God? He is the God of all comfort, the God of all hope. You know, if it wasn't for God Himself, where would we be? Aren't you thankful? No matter how bad your day is, no matter how bad your circumstances are, that you're thankful that God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will always hear your prayer. If we have this confidence in our God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John chapter 5, He hears our prayers. We have this God that we can call upon, and we truly ought to be thankful. It ought to be the most grateful thing in our hearts for the abundant things that He's given us in our life. He ought not to have to command us to be thankful. But here again, He commands us to be thankful. We see the same language by the apostle when he writes under divine inspiration in Ephesians chapter 5, and he says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, some of us don't get very involved in the song service, and as I was reading about being thankful and reading in the Old Testament, New Testament life, I cannot tell you the emphasis that God puts upon song and praise through song. It's just amazing the importance that the Lord places upon singing and praising God through song. It's important. God didn't say you got to be a great singer. Some of us don't want to sing because we're not great singers. I'm certainly that way. But that's how we praise God. That is one way that we praise God. It's a command. And he goes on and says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things we're to give thanks for. Some people say, well, I don't. All things that pertaineth to God we should give thanks for. That's what he says here. Does he say it different? Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Unto God. In the midst of your roughest day, And your greatest disappointment, your greatest challenge, the midst of your greatest tragedy, whatever that might be, you have more to be thankful for than you have to complain about. As we enter into a new year, are you thankful to have lived another year and that God has blessed your family to be together, that you're still alive and breathing? Do you know that we've been blessed with the gift of life, not only eternal life, but life itself? We were created from nothing. Well, we were created twice if you're a child of God. We were created twice. We've been given natural birth. We've been given spiritual birth through the Creator, God Himself. We came from nothing, and He promised that we'll live forever. And how much more could we be thankful for? He's promised that there will come a day that no tear will be shed. There'll be no sleepless nights. We'll be gathered in the presence of Jesus Christ Himself and all those that have went on before us that we love and cherish and want to be with. And we'll never have the difficulties that stain our life as it was sin again. I tell you, if that doesn't excite the sinner and the child of God, I don't know what does. As tough as this life may be, oh, we have so much to be thankful for. We need to thank God every morning. We're told that thanksgiving is a sacrifice. You know, God didn't call upon you and I to go out and kill goats and bulls and animals of all sorts as He did in the Old Testament and sprinkle the blood upon the altar, but He did call us to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 13, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise. Throughout the Old Testament, it talks about singing and praising God. It's an important thing for the child of God. It's something that we ought to do. It's a way to praise Him. To God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. When we're thanking God through song, when we're thanking God through prayer, when we're thanking God for the day that He's given us, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. When we thank God for those things, every morning and every day, we're doing something that honors and glorifies our God. We have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful to live in a nation, or I am, where we can continue to come into the house of the Lord without any difficulty. Sometimes we're not as thankful as we ought to be because we're content. You know, we just know what we know, don't we? You know, I've never lived in a time in myself that I was ever, there was ever a time that I wasn't allowed to go to church, even by my parents or by the government or by laws. But there's been those times. There are those things that still take place in this world. You know, I am so thankful for what we have in this country, and yet sometimes I don't take enough time to thank God. We're to thank God because it's a command. We're to thank God because He tells us that through thanking Him, it's a way of praising. It's a sacrifice that honors His holy name. We need to be very thankful. It's so easy to concentrate on the bad that sometimes we forget how thankful we ought to be for what God has given us. We've all got problems, and every person's problems are different. Some of the problems are the same. But we serve the same God who is the same yesterday and today and forever, who has promised us eternal life, who has promised to deliver us or to go with us or to give us the grace that we need to endure whatever trial you're going through. But we need to thank Him daily for the grace that He's given us, daily for the hope that we have in Him, that this is not the end. You know, I mentioned a number of times over the years when I was flying back from Brother Steve's one time, I sat down by a Jewish lady that didn't believe in Jesus Christ. She believed when she died, she went back to fertilizer. Aren't you glad that isn't the hope that you have? That one day you will rest in heaven with Jesus Christ Himself. You'll be there with your loved ones who may have brought tears to your eyes time and time again for their loss. Yet there's coming a day, and that day's not as far off as we all imagine. It gets closer every day, as I tell my wife. But when we look back, time passes fast. We have much to be thankful for. If you've got a good wife, a good husband, you have much to be thankful for. If you have good kids, even though they may not have walked and lived exactly like you would have, I'm sure you and I didn't walk and live like our parents would have had us. We all make mistakes. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But needless to say, we have much to be thankful for. We're told in prayer that prayer should always be accompanied with thanksgiving. We're told in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Be careful for nothing. That means there's not anything you can't bring before your God. Our only true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can't bring before Him. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have much to be thankful for. Sometimes we get caught up in the down times of life, in the troubles of life. Sometimes they consume us to the point that we become as a person who appears to be unthankful because we're overtaken and overshadowed by the temporal difficulties that we're undergoing. I'm very guilty of that in my life. You know, things don't go right with whatever you're working or some other issue in life, or you lose somebody that you can't imagine you'd lose, and it's just all of a sudden you forget to be thankful. You know, we sing a song, don't forget to pray. Well, we need not to forget to thank God for His everlasting mercy. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they never fail. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, that we might boldly say, the Lord is our helper. These are promises that you and I can count upon. We can't count upon our own desires, much less the promises of anyone else. But the promises of God, we can count upon. We can take them to the bank, as one person might say. Because God has never told a lie. God has never not fulfilled a promise that He made. He promised to deliver the children of Israel, and He did. And soon after, it wasn't good enough. Mourning and complaining went on. And I used to think, and how silly it was to think this, that if I'd have seen that river or that sea part, if I'd have seen that fire by night and a whirlwind as it might be, or a cloud by day that we were following, if I'd have seen all those miraculous things, I wouldn't have been like them. But no, I'm a sinner just like they was, and we'd have been just like them. Our nature leads us to complain and to gripe and to think that we don't have it good enough. But I'm telling you, I don't care where you are. You got much to be thankful for. Much to be thankful for. You need to thank God every day for the very air you breathe, for waking up and living another day, for your family, for your church, for the freedom and liberty that we have in this country that others in this world may not have. We have so much to be thankful for. If we begin to list those things out, there would not be enough time left in the days and the weeks and the months to give thanks unto our God. We have much to be thankful for. We notice that over in Psalms chapter 18 and verse 49, it says, the psalmist says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. I believe this tells me that we're to stand out and thank God among those who do not believe in God. You know, we've often heard of standing up for the Lord. When we stand up for the Lord, we do what the Lord says. You know, the Bible tells us that our times are in thy hand, O Lord. Deliver me from the hand of thine enemies. You know, Peter decided that he would help the Lord out when they came to arrest him. He pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of one of those that arrested him. And Jesus immediately stopped him. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. He reattached that ear. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The battle we fight is with evil. And we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not trust in our own feeble efforts and our own inabilities. God is strong and God is able. And we need to look unto Him and we need to thank Him for His protection. You know, Job was hedged about, and when God turned his loosened the hedge and let Satan come in, it gives us an idea of what would happen to you and I in life if God removed the hedge. Aren't you thankful that God has kept things from happening to you and I that could have very well happened? Things that maybe you read about, you see about, or you've heard other people talk about? We need to thank God every day. In Psalms 30, verse 12, it says, to that end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. That tells me that we're to sing out to the Lord and not be silent. It's not about how great and grander of a singer you are. One day we will be perfect in song when we get to heaven. But I tell you, I can read enough about the Lord. He wants us to sing from the heart. He's interested in your heart. Religion is not about the outward doings of an individual. It's about what comes out of one's heart. That's why Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Singing and worship comes from the heart. Heartfelt religion is what the Lord wants. "O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." That tells me that no matter what your circumstances are or mine are, we've always got something to thank God for. And that we ought to concentrate upon those things in our lives, not upon the other things that seem to consume our minds so often. God said, "I'm always here." He said, "If you pray in accordance to my will, I will always hear you. You will have your petitions before me." We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. He said, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him." And he's promised you something. He will direct your steps. But that means acknowledgement in every part of our life. Not just here a couple hours on Sunday morning, but when we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, to acknowledge the Lord, the giver of all blessings, the giver of natural life, the giver of spiritual life, and the one who promised to live with him, that we would live with him throughout all eternity. We have so much to be thankful for. In this verse, in verse 11, the psalmist here said, "Thou hast turned for my mourning into dancing. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." Friends, we're going to have troubles and we're going to have bad days. But if we're not in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's hard to overcome those things. When we're thanking God and praising God and looking to Jesus every day, there is a hope and a strength in that that will help you get on beyond those difficulties. Because I promise you, we're going to have them. You know, we get older, it may be the burdens and afflictions of our health, the inability to do the things we once did, the possibility of losing our independence. But yet we have much to be thankful for, because God has promised one day that'll pass away. We'll be healed. Sin will go away and we'll live with the Lord, and this will never come upon us again. I tell you, that ought to be something we thank God for every day, the very promise and gift of eternal life. Something that you and I could not obtain, but something that Jesus Christ himself through his shed blood did attain. You know, the law tells us, or James tells us, that if we committed sin, one sin, if we offended the law in one point, we're guilty of the entire law. And you cannot pay for one sin that you committed. You have nothing to pay with. It took the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms 105 and verse 1, it says, "O give thanks unto me, unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." When God is good to you, shout it out from the rooftops. Make it known unto others. That's how we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't go back into a corner. We don't crawl into a cave and shut the door. We announce the good news and the greatness that our God has done for us. The very life that we have, the very blessings that we've obtained, knowing that all blessings flow from God. It's not something that you and I earned or deserved. There's not anything that we earned or deserved, except separation from God throughout all eternity. And thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got a hope that goes beyond being separated from God forever. I want to spend a little time in Luke chapter 17. To finish up this morning, and I think there's a great lesson in this chapter about being thankful. In verse 11 of Luke chapter 17, it said, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." I mentioned this a little bit last week, but this is truly something that probably hits Christianity today and throughout the ages. Tells it like it is. First of all, let me explain to you what a leper was. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded, and it would be today, diseases that's ever come around. A lot of people were disfigured by leprosy itself. Now, in the scriptures, leprosy is oftentimes spiritually represented as sin. But we notice that these lepers stood afar off. Why was that? Because when you had leprosy, you were quarantined. You were put out of the congregation. You were put away from your friends. You were put away from your family. You were segregated into colonies. And I tell you, oftentimes the people that did see them, even from afar off, looked down upon them because they were disfigured. Terrible things were said about them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what they looked like? Leprosy was a terrible, terrible disease. They were lonely. They no longer got to be among their families, their friends, their neighbors, their acquaintances. Leprosy was a very dreaded disease, something that no one wanted, but there was those folks that had it. There were 10 here, and that's what's under consideration. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Well, it makes you wonder. There's no doubt in my mind that they heard an acclamation from the man that was healed from leprosy by this man named Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 5 and says in verse 12, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy." You know, that represents us. We're men full of sin. This is the spiritual representation that we have here, spiritual lesson. But this was a natural disease that was horrible. It was. And it says, and he goes on and says, "Behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean." The first thing we notice about this leper is he had faith. And if he had faith, there's no doubt in my mind that he was born of the Spirit of God, because Galatians chapter 5 tells you that if you have faith to believe in God, it's because it's a fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's one of the most misrepresented truths in all of Christianity. They believe that everybody has faith and all they got to do is grab hold of it. Go read Galatians chapter 5 when it gives the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you're not born of the Spirit, you can't bear the fruit of faith. It's that simple. But he goes on here, says, "And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto thee." First of all, when a person got leprosy, you can go read Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. He was to go before the priest. The priest was to look at him. There were several things that took place. And if he had leprosy, the priest pronounced him unclean and he was cast out of the camp. He was quarantined and segregated to a colony, separated from his friends, his family, and all those that he knew, because this was a highly contagious, very dreaded disease. So Jesus here says, go to the priest and do what Moses commanded you to do. "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." No doubt that over here in Luke chapter 17, they heard of the fame of Jesus Christ and the great healing of this disease known as leprosy on this man. We notice that over there that Jesus touched that man and declared him clean. And he became immediately, he was clean. But notice there's a little bit something different going on here. Jesus said, and they seen their dire need. You know, that's another lesson. Well, there's many lessons we get out of this, but sometimes until we're brought to the end of our way, we don't see the great need we have for Jesus Christ, for our God. We get to going along in life. Things are going pretty well. We're enjoying life. Seems to be no problems. You know, we even see that in churches and in countries throughout the history of the Bible. But God can show us. He can bring us to the end of our way and show us our great need for him. If you go to Luke chapter 15 and you see study the story of the elder brother and the younger brother, the rebellious brother, you'll find that the rebellious brother was brought to the end of his way. And he seen his need. He was still a son, still a child of God, but God taught him a lesson there. He seen the great need. These lepers had a need, did they not? They seen their need to go to God in prayer and pray for mercy. The publican in Luke chapter 18, you know, he would not even look up, but he smote himself upon his breast and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Until we see our need for God, oftentimes we don't go to God in prayer. We don't see the need to pray as often as we should pray. We don't see the need to thank God as often as we should thank God. He says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Go show yourselves unto the priest. He didn't bring them a bottle of medicine. He didn't touch them, and he didn't rebuke some spirit that was in them and they come out. He just said, go and show yourself unto the priest. This was far different, because back in Leviticus, you didn't go to the priest unless you thought you was clean, to see if you'd be declared clean. You were unclean. And these had already been declared leopards. They were full of leprosy. There was 10 of them. There were 10 leopards here. And Jesus said, go to the priest. This shows that they had some faith, and that faith gave them a hope in Jesus Christ. This talks about the path of obedience and the blessings that come through obedience. They were obedient. He just said, go show yourselves unto the priest. He didn't touch them and clean them. He didn't rebuke something to come out of them. He didn't give them some kind of medicine in a bottle. He just said, go and show yourself unto the priest. And it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know, when we look at the cleansing and we look at the leprosy in these verses, we're talking about every one of God's children. We're unclean. And the only way you and I will ever be cleansed is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If His blood cleansed you, you're clean. You're pronounced clean in the sight of God Almighty. But they were obedient. And as they took off to see the priest, they were immediately cleansed and healed of the leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, you know, where do you think you would be in this situation if you and 9 other folks had this dreaded disease of leprosy that was very contagious? It was such a disease that you had to be kept away from your family and your friends, your parents, the congregation of God's people, because this is a true story. There was such a disease as leprosy, and it was very dreaded. It was a very big problem in those days. And we find here that this one man, he turned around and basically yelled and glorified God with all he had. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, not with an inkling of a voice, with a loud voice, glorified God. How thankful this brother must have been when he saw that he was healed from such a dreaded disease. How thankful are you and I when we come to realize that we've been healed from the dreaded disease of sin. Sin is as dreaded a disease in our lives as leprosy was to these men. That's a spiritual lesson here. One of these men turned around and he thanked God and he glorified God. He took the time out of his busy schedule. You know, these men have been apart from their family so long. No doubt they was ready to go see their family and their friends. I have no doubt that all 10 of them had some, were thankful to some extent. I mean, how could you not be thankful for the disease of leprosy to be cleansed and removed from you? There's no doubt they were grateful to some degree. But the nine, they kept on going. They followed the command of Jesus. They went to the priest. They wanted to get back into their social life. They wanted to get on doing whatever it was they was doing before they come contagious and got this disease. But one of them turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That tells me in that day, and what's under consideration here, there was only 10% that were thankful enough to stop to give God praise, honor, and glory, and to thank Him for what He had done for them. Had too many other things going on. They had remembered the past, likely, when they were with their family and they were with their friends and all the things that were going on, and they were ready to get back to their social life. But this Samaritan, this outcast, you go to Luke chapter 15, and that's where it always starts. These other 9 were Jews, and I believe they were children of God. But they had more important things to do than to turn around and thank God and to glorify God for the great cleansing that they had had. And you know, as it was on the other side of the Red Sea, so it is here. You'd think, well, if I'd have been diagnosed with that disease and I was unclean and I was disfigured because of leprosy, that when God cleansed me, I would have turned around. Why would we have done any better than they had? But the lesson here is, it doesn't take away from all your time to worship God. God commands us to enter into His sanctuary, to publicly congregate together and worship Him, and to be a disciple that follows Him throughout life. This man was so excited. He was so thankful that it didn't, that those left behind when he departed, they could wait a little longer. I've seen folks say, well, I can't go to church, families in town. I can't do this, families in town. Or my friends have come from a long ways. But this man, no telling how long he had not seen his family or his friends. But he put the Lord first. He took the time in his life to yell with a loud voice, praise unto our God, to glorify our God. And these Jesus said, where are the other 9? He says, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Throughout the Word of God, you'll find that God's outcast, the publicans and the sinners, and you know, Samaritans were considered dogs in the sight of Jews in those days. But this man was so thankful for what God had done to him and for him in healing him of this dreaded disease that he took the time to thank God. You reckon today in the world in which we live that the number is much different than it was then? Have you taken time every morning to thank God for what He's given you? Most importantly, that He's given you eternal life, that He's given you a family, that He's given you a job whereby you can buy food, you can take things from the cupboard and eat, that you have a variety of food. I've been to places in this world, the variety's very thin. You and I are so blessed that I can't begin to tell you how blessed we are. But you know, I've done my share of complaining just like everyone. And I'm not here to condemn anyone. But I'm here to tell you, as I thought upon this subject, I thought, how thankful am I really for the eternal gift that has been promised to each and every one of us, for the deliverances that God gives me each and every day, and just for the provisions and the benefits, the water we drink, the air that we breathe. He's promised to always give us what we stand in need of. He didn't say He'd always give us what we want, but He said, I'll give you what you stand in need of. But so often, I fail to stop and truly thank God for all His rich blessings. Not to mention that one day the troubles that we encounter that are temporal and really not very long will never be in our part of our life again throughout all eternity. I tell you, we got so much to be thankful for. We ought to be shouting from the rooftops because our God has provided for us in this life and in the life to come. We ought to be thankful for all these things. And He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That man was not any more cleansed than the other 9. Just like many of God's children today have been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as those who take out time to worship Him, to follow Him, to enter into the congregation of the saints. You know, it says we're to sing praises and to thank Him among the heathen, among men. You know, we're to declare the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a secret. That's how we stand up for Christ. It's not with the weapons, carnal weapons. It's with doing the will of God. That's how we stand for our Lord. By doing His will, seeking His will, and following Him every day of our life. It didn't take that Samaritan a lot of time out to take a few minutes after he had been healed to praise God and glorify Him for what He'd done. And I'm sure he got back to his family also. But sometimes we get too busy to do those things. May God bless us in the year of 2018 to wake up with a heart of thanksgiving, to truly thank God. And you know, some of us will have some bad days. Some of us will have days worse than others. I don't know what we encounter, what we face, what challenges may approach us in this life, who may not be here, who we may lose. But somebody here will have those encounters because that's how life is. But even in those situations and under those circumstances, we've got so much to be thankful for. It's unbelievable. May God bless us to never forget His unforgivable and His grace and His forgiveness and His grace and the unthinkable mercy that He bestows upon us. May we always remember those things and always give Him thanks. Thank you for